live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Well, hello, you wonderful, wonderful, beautiful people. Is that loud? I hope it's not too loud for you. Anyway, how are you? Let me tell you about my week first. I will. In fact, no, you should have saved it to the midpoint. Yes, maybe I will save it to the midpoint. But let me put it this way. What a difference 7 days makes. Because right now, I'm recording upstairs, as you can tell. And the reason for that is obviously because I don't want to be downstairs. And why don't I want to be downstairs where the studio is? Because of what happened last week. And I'm too scared. And why am I too scared? Because I'm here alone. And I'm not just here alone today. I'm here alone for at least the next fortnight. Whereas Becky, you say, well, all that will be revealed in the midpoint. But can I just say, it's been the maddest 7 days. It really has. Is it to do with the paranormal? Has she left because there's ghosties and there's things moving about? Well, no. But I will tell you why in the midpoint. Anyway, it's wonderful to have you back here. Yes, it is indeed. We're going to have a wonderful share. Yes, we are. I do say so. But I first want to thank each and every one of you because we're getting high download numbers now. We're getting a lot of correspondence, lovely reviews. Yes, lovely. Just lovely. But I especially want to thank our Patreons for keeping the show afloat. If you'd like to become a Patreon, go over to www.patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. Yes, go there. And there's a new episode up each week there. The new ones just went out. They heard a little secret, perhaps. And we have a new Patreon this week who I want to say thank you to. And that person's name is Julie. And the guitar's out, Julie. Yes. If you don't know by now, when you sign up to Patreon, I sing your name in an original song to say thank you. And this is for Julie. Julie. Julie, Julie, Julie. Julie. Julie, 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 can you guess the next words? That's right. Julie, 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 she signed up to Patreon. Oh yeah, I wanna thank her so. She must believe in ghosts, or she's just a very nice person. I wanna thank you though, Julie, you are the best I know. Call Julie, I don't know many Julies. In fact, I think you're the only bloody Julie I know. Oh, Julie, Julie. That could have went on forever, couldn't it, really? But Julie, thank you very much for signing up to Patreon. You really do keep the show afloat, all of you wonderful people. If you want to become a Patreon, patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. Anyway, should we see what weird things have been happening in the world? I think we shall. Yes, it's time for this week's Week in Weird, and it's a very Aliens in the Skies Week in Weird. You will have seen in the news recently, it was all over the front pages of every paper in the world, that we are starting to pick up like 16 radio bursts of energy coming from some distant civilization. Boop, 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 on a repeating cyclical cycle. And that means basically it should be intelligent, or hopefully will be anyway. But following on from that, they've now announced that astronomers are to sweep the entire sky for signs of extraterrestrial life for the first time ever, using 28 giant radio telescopes. It's the first time they've ever done it, and it's a thing between SETI, which is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, yes, and an observatory in New Mexico using one of the world's most powerful radio observatories, according to The Guardian anyway. Now, I think this is all dead good, and, you know, there's a chance that we are being watched. It's inevitable, I think. However, Stephen Hawking, of course, is a little less confident. Before he died, Stephen Hawking said, it might be the equivalent as to when Native Americans first encountered Christopher Columbus, and things didn't turn out so well that time, he cautioned. And he goes on to say that if we are successful in contacting some alien race, there is a chance they, and this is a quote, they will be vastly more powerful than us and may not see us any more valuable than we see bacteria. Well, you know what, Stephen Hawking? Bacteria is actually very useful because it creates penicillin and all that jazz, so there. But then again, that means that they might just mash us up in petri dishes and feed us to their ill alien brethren. Oh well, let's hope not. Anyway, that's it for this week's Weekend Weird. Okay, now it's time for the ghost story bit. Hooray, we all love this bit. It's the point of the show. So, first story, we've got an update on a story we had last week. Do you remember Lucy sent us in some news clippings of a phantom highwayman, sort of headless horseman figure, who had a head, from the streets around her area? Well, the newspaper she got that from has put another article up, because since reading that story, somebody else has came forward with something they experienced many years ago. And their story goes like this. A fresh account of an alleged sighting of a ghost on horseback near the A39 has emerged from a woman who said the spectre freaked her dogs out. A woman from Ashcott has spoken of the time she saw the ghost rider on the A road between Bridgewater and Street, after an apparent recent sighting came to light. Sue Phillips has shared the story of her sighting 7 years ago after a couple reported a similar incident in December last year. You remember that was the one we said about the whole woman who ate too much McDonald's after seeing a ghost and banged on about the McDonald's instead of the ghost. Anyway, Sue was taking her two dogs for an early morning walk around 6:30 a.m. in 2013. As she was walking down King's Lane towards Ashcott Playing Field, just left of the A39, both of her dogs froze. She said, the dogs freaked out, but there was no one about. You know what it's like to be a woman on your own. You don't want to be attacked. Of course you don't. I was most worried about someone creeping around in the bushes, if I'm honest. I thought they'd seen someone or a fox. But then a rider and horse galloped across the lane just before the sports field and then disappeared. It was all very quick. It was so shocking, I was just stopped in my tracks. Sue said there's no possibility a horse could have got through there as there's a metal wire fence and bushes in the way. Her dogs refused to continue on their walk, which is unheard of, according to Sue. When Sue told her neighbours about her experience, she said they made fun of her, saying, did it have its head tucked underneath its arm? Now that's our last, isn't it? I mean, I'm not being funny. If I said to my mates, oh my God, I've just seen a ghost, and they went, oh, was it a sheep with its eyes cut out as holes? I'd be like, you know what? Sod you, I've seen a ghost. Anyway. She goes on to say, after reading about a similar experience, she was hoping for some reassurance that she's not a raving nutcase. It's too much of a coincidence, she said. Sue said some villagers speculate that there's more than one ghost in the area surrounding the A39 after a variety of sightings. And then they go on to say, who is the phantom? So Rachel's gone through many efforts to identify who the ghost might be, or at least to find a rational explanation. I want answers, she said. Every single day it's crossed my mind. I wish to God I hadn't seen it so that my mind wouldn't be ticking. Now that's very similar to the last woman's story, isn't it? Where, and I can completely understand this, like I said last week, where, you know, if you do see something like that, you have to rationalise it, like I was trying to do last week with all the stuff going on in the flat. Because if I choose to assume that it isn't just rational and it's actually the dead trying to communicate, I have to live with that. No, thank you very much. So I'm starting to come alongside Rebecca's beliefs of it's pressure in the taps, it's this, it's that, the other, because the only alternative solution is that it's the dead. And that's effing horrible. But that's a great story. Thank you, Lucy, for sending in that update. Yes. And our next email comes in from Jenny from Wales. And this story is called The Haunted Market. Just a quick email to tell you what's been happening in my work in the last few months. I work in a market in Wales. It's been there forever, and therefore there are a lot of people who are kind of regulars, both customers and storekeepers. It's not a place that you would expect to be spooky or haunted, as it's largely open air, with only part of it undercover. However, I'm convinced it is. It started about a month ago, when my business partner, in brackets, we run a small stall making baby clothes, was approached by the owner of the opposite pet food store just before opening. They came over holding one of our child bonnets and asked if we were missing one. We put this down to maybe one falling down and a customer handing it in at the wrong store. Nothing spooky there. But he came back over the next day with another item, a small scarf. And the day after that. On the fourth consecutive day, I asked him if it was the same person who handed it in each time. But this is the freaky part. He said no one was handing it in. It was sitting on the chair by his till every morning when he opened up. Oh my God, that's effing terrifying. Now I feel like I should explain. Some of the stalls, in brackets, mine included, do not have a roof. We're in the undercover section so we don't need one, and the site is fully secure. He guessed that maybe a bird was getting in and for some reason taking an item from our stall and putting it in his. In brackets, I know animals can do weird things like this. We asked around the stalls and someone gave us some netting that we could run across the top of our stall, basically making a makeshift roof, which could sort out the issue. The next day, as I was opening, the guy from the store opposite came over smiling, saying it must have been a bird as there were no longer any items on his chair. Great, the netting had worked. So I opened up and started sorting our float out when something catches my eye. On my stool behind the counter was a squeaky dog toy. The same type I could see was for sale from the guy's stall over the way. I walked over with it and said, "You're not going to believe this, but..." and shown him the toy. This was on my chair this morning. Since that day, there's nothing more that's happened. I appreciate it's not your standard screaming demon story, but I hope you find it as unsettling as we do. Wow, Jenny. That is amazing. I pictured that perfectly, and that's terrifying. I mean, why on earth they would do that, though? You know, Occam's razor-wise, why on earth that would do anything? I suppose it's just to let you know they're there. Maybe. But that's dead weird, that, especially if there's no way, now you've put the roof on, there's no way anyone could get in or out, and it's from his store. Very, very strange. Thanks for that, Jenny. That's amazing. Please send in any more that you have. Yes. Now, we've had an email from Terry from London. London. Oh, apples and pears. What was that? That wasn't an accent. Anyway, and he sent the following email in. Hi, Kev. I noticed that Lucy last week sent in an email with some links to some spooky stories. Therefore, I've done the same. Feel free to use. Why, thanks, Terry. I like the way he says feel free to use, but it's somebody else's work. But anyway, he sent in a few links, which I've read, and they've put the willies up me. Not literally, of course. But I'm going to read them out. So the stories from the remainder of the show are thanks to Terry from Landon's links. So thank you, Terry. And our first story is called Poltergeist. I grew up in southeast Kentucky, and my parents were both in the military. One went to Iraq to fight the war, then came back. Then the other got deployed within a year to Iraq/Afghanistan. My parents were not the best parents because they were going through a lot of their own emotional struggles related to post-traumatic stress disorder. Both were heavy alcoholics, and they cheated on each other all the time. They sound like a cracking pair of parents. Yes, give them an award. Yes. Things reached their peak when I was around 10. Dad was away with the military and only Mum was home. She would go out to bars all night and leave me and my sociopathic brother home alone to fend for ourselves. One night, she was actually home and for some reason I was terrified to go into my room, so I asked if I could sleep in my Mum's room while she watched TV in the living room. She said okay, so I went in and climbed in bed and started hearing this noise, like a clicking noise. I was like, what the fuck? I looked over to what I thought was the origin, my Mum's closet. I felt uncomfortable, so I went out of the room and tried to play it off like I wasn't tired, yet my Mum made me go back in. As soon as I got in bed and looked over at the closet, one of her shoes was floating a foot and a half off the ground. What in the living hell, boy? You need to run away, even at 10. I jumped out of bed and scrambled out of the room so fast. I told my Mum what happened and she said she would come lay with me until I went to sleep. I'm pretty sure she thought I was just being a kid. You know, monsters under the bed, all that kind of deal. Then she started to hear the clicking too. She got freaked out and made my brother sleep in the room with us for everybody's safety. The clicking continued and we just felt really uncomfortable and unsafe. We finally fell asleep after we prayed continuously. In the middle of the night, my Mum had to use the restroom, so she turned on the light to her ensuite bathroom. The light bulb blew up, sending glass everywhere. Almost immediately after, a wind rushed down the hallway and knocked all the pictures off the walls. Then, silence. There were no doors or windows open. The air conditioning wasn't on, and it was to this day the strangest thing that's ever happened to me. I think that all the built-up emotion from everyone in the house compounded and created this phenomena, this poltergeist. The house was quiet after that, but our family struggles continued until it broke apart. And for the better, everyone moved on. Wow, that is amazing. You know what? That thing where you say the wind shot down the hall and all pictures flew off, that is horrible. I can't think of anything, well, I can think of many things worse, but that's up there. That is definitely up there. Jesus, tonight. Brrr. Wow, wow, wee, wow. Anyway. Shall we get to the now controversial midpoint? I think we shall. The Western Party, you say? The Western Party? Let's find out. The midpoint is a danger sign. Dong, dong. Big thanks to Duran Duran for sponsoring that midpoint. They didn't really. How are you all? I hope you're all okay. Well, 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 do I have news for you? Basically, you know where people say, hey, everything can change in a week? Well, F me. Have I had living proof of that this week? Yes, I have. So, last week, me and Becca, all as normal, do the shows, do the Patreon together. Lovely, lovely, lovely. This weekend, we were meant to be at a food festival. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. However, let me just say now, Becca is currently in Saudi Arabia. Yes, not the restaurant nearby called Saudi Arabia. She's in the country Saudi Arabia. Yes. Wow. So anyway, she started her own business a couple of weeks ago. Ticket and entertainment, all that sort of stuff. Started this week. Somebody that we used to work with says, do you fancy 2 weeks work in Saudi? She's like, yes, I do. That'd be great for the new business that I'm starting. Up comes a week then of rooting around everywhere, trying to find passports, passport photos, getting insurance, getting visas for the country, suitcases, you name it. It's been manic. And she obviously accepted the position just for a couple of weeks. So in a nutshell, what this means is that Kevin is now alone in the haunted flat for a whole fortnight. And I'm upstairs recording this because I don't want to be in the studio after last week. If you need any reference to last week, please listen to last week's episode. But yeah, I'm upstairs. I've been sleeping with the light on. I'm not even ashamed to say it. I'm upstairs because I'm terrified. Yes, I'm terrified and I'm on my own. So I think what could happen is over the next, it's basically 3 weekends, this being the first, that I'm alone in this flat. Now, talking about ghosts, as we know from past experience, normally sends me on one and gets me a bit edgy. And when you then have to spend the rest of the day alone and sleep alone in a haunted flat, it can do things to your mind. So I think there's a good chance over the next 3 weeks we're going to actually experience the downfall of the host, namely me. If you have any survival advice, I'll be all for it. But in truth, I've got to be brave. I've got to be a man. I'm 40 years old, for Christ's sakes. I'm not afraid of anything. I am very, very scared right now. So yeah, I made up for Becca. It's a huge thing for her. And when she comes back, no doubt she'll fill us with Saudi delights. But I am getting the shitty end of this stick because I am in a haunted flat on my own. And I'm looking around now, really freaked out after reading some of them stories. So thank you, Becca. Thank you for putting me in this wonderful position, all for the sake of a career. Surely your career can go jump and my fear should come first, don't you think? I'm joking. Anyway, it is the midpoint. We have some amazing stories to come up. To follow. Thank you to Terry for sending the links in because the next few are amazing, mate. Those are my Australian. They're amazing. We've had some amazing correspondence. Don't forget, if you want to get your story read out, send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And you can send any correspondence you want there too. I'll go over that towards the end of the show. We've had some belters come in. If you want to leave a review, which I'll read out at the end of the show too, just do that on whatever method you listen to your podcasts. Yeah, and obviously Patreons we covered at the start. But yeah, just to reiterate, this midpoint's entire message is, I'm alone in the flat. The flat is very haunted. Kevin is going to collapse, both mentally and possibly physically. So please pray for me. Keep me in your prayers. Any Catholics out there, keep me in your prayers. Protestants even. I don't care your faith. Please just pray to your sentient being. Thank you very much. Anyway, should we get on to more ghosts? Oh, no, we shouldn't. Because first, I do want to say, yes, last week's episode, all the noises. All genuine, all real. Did they have a rational explanation? Yes, arguably they did. But I'm still doing this episode upstairs. Anyway, we are going to do an investigation in the flat. I know people have asked to do it since we started, and I started saying this flat's fucking haunted. People have said, well, why don't you investigate it? And it's easier said than done. Because I'd still live here, Newton-John. Olivia Newton-John joke there. But I still live here, Newton-John. Oh, I can't keep doing that joke. I still live here. But yes, there could be exciting news on that front in terms of a few guests that we might have on, special guests, yes, to help us with that investigation in the upcoming months. And you'll know them. Yes, you will. That's all I'll say for now. In the meantime, and in between time, let's get some more spooky stories on the go. Hooray! What's that noise? Okay, I will say I've just freaked myself out because I leant my leg on the table and my e-cig went off in my pocket, started hissing. But obviously, when you've got headphones on and a microphone, all you hear through the microphone is like a... I was like, oh my Jesus, what is that? And it was me, being an arse. Anyway, relaxed again now. It's this chair. If you heard a knocking, then it's this chair. Don't worry, I paused too. Anyway, come on, compose yourself, Kevin. So, we have more stories from a link sent in by Terry. Shit myself now. By Terry. And he sent a link through to a Reddit discussion about the most unexplainable thing that's ever happened to you. And some of these are amazing. You need to get on these. So the first one is from a rookie cop. I was a rookie cop when my brother committed suicide. He was one of my older siblings, but we were very close. He died in another state, and I had a lot of guilt about not recognizing the signs. His remains were in a bad shape by the time he was discovered, so it was a closed coffin service. About a week after he died, I was back at work one night, and my partner and I see a pimp pistol-whipping one of his girls. I jump out, and the pimp sees me, and the foot chase is on. I was running after him, gun in hand, and he cuts through a narrow corridor under a building that leads to a courtyard in the middle. Right before I reach the courtyard, I hear, "It's okay," in my dead brother's voice. I hit the courtyard and the guy is against the side pointing a gun at my head and squeezes the trigger twice. I froze for a millisecond and then started beating him in the head with my revolver. To this day, I don't know why I didn't just shoot him. I cuff him and walk back to the street to find my partner. I tell my partner I heard him squeezing the trigger, but not the voice I heard. We unload the gun, a .32 revolver. Right there, and two bullets have strike marks on them. We take the gun to the lab for testing, tell the tech the story. He puts the two bullets with the strike marks back in and shoots into the test tank, and both bullets fire. Oh, that's amazing. So that's kind of like your brother's being a guardian angel over you there. Very, very interesting and terrifying and life-saving. And I suppose life-affirming. I could never be a cop in America. I couldn't be a cop in the UK, actually. We don't even carry guns. That's a mad thing. There's loads of shootings that go on now in Liverpool as well, where I live. But the cops can't carry guns. The way that it works is they have a taser. That's going to do you some good against a gun, isn't it? But if there's an armed situation, the radio through to an armed response team, and then they have to wait. So I feel really bad on the UK coppers. So keep doing a good job, lads. There you go. But what an amazing story. Brilliant. So the next tale is called The Haunted Apartment. I live in a haunted apartment. It was two rooms, but one of the rooms was locked, and I didn't have the key. So I only had one small room as a kitchen, dining room, and bedroom, and a screened porch. There were two especially freaky events. One night, my girlfriend slept over, and she woke up in the middle of the night and said she saw the bathroom door open and a shadowy figure standing in the bathroom staring at her. Oh, that's just giving me a chill right down my back. Ugh. The bathroom was right across from the locked room. Another time, I was jerked awake by the fire alarm going off, just blaring. But when I went to unplug it, the alarm stopped and no other alarm in the building was going off. A lot of the things that happened could have just been the neighbours, but the way they happened was, well, weird. I would hear knocking. It sounded like someone tapping a spoon on a counter, coming from the downstairs apartment. It could have been my neighbour, but I'm not sure why she would do that every couple of minutes for hours on end, or in the middle of the night. I would also hear knocking on the walls. It sounded like someone tapping their way up the wall, like they were looking for a stud. I would also hear this weird moaning, howling that I couldn't trace the source of again. Could have been a neighbour or a neighbour's dog, but it didn't sound like it was coming from her apartment. The apartment across from me had three tenants in a year. I think because just like mine, it was also haunted. I had, I think, a unique way of coping. I named the ghost Pete after a previous tenant's mail I would get from time to time. And I tried talking to him, basically treating him like a roommate I wasn't friends with. My girlfriend was much more freaked out by the situation than me and basically stopped coming over after a few months, so I wasn't there much anyway. When I was, I felt that talking to Pete made the atmosphere of the whole place much more friendly. I also left out a sheet of paper with Pete's notes written on it and told him if he had any problems to just write them down. I still don't know if I quite believe in ghosts, though I find the supernatural fascinating, but that experience did push me closer to the science doesn't know everything camp. I'm not surprised. That's because your house is effing haunted. Wow, that's amazing. You know what really freaked me out listening to that one? Listening to it, I said it, selling you that one, is there was a bit in that where you say about the knocking going up the wall, like they were trying to find a stud. Now, I'm rereading for like the umpteenth time a book called Will Storr vs. the Supernatural. Now, if you haven't read this book, you need to read it. It's amazing. He's basically a skeptical journalist, a real life skeptical journalist that does a little bit of his own investigation into the supernatural and writes down his results. And it's amazing. You go on a journey with him. It's fantastic. However, I've just got a big cold blast in here. However, one of the bits that he mentions in it is he's looking into the Enfield poltergeist case. And one of the things, one of the pieces of poltergeist activity that they hear in there is knockings fading in and out. Again, like someone's trying to find something in the wall. So, you know, like, I'll do it now. So, like a... Do you know what I mean? That sort of knocking. Like, higher and lowering in intensity. And that really scares me because that's sentient. You know, that's a behavioural thing. It's not just a random knocking. That's something with intelligence, I think. And it freaks me out. So that story was great. I'm absolutely terrified now. And keeping in theme with one of the previous stories, the next story is about a haunted military camp. I used to be in the military, and the training camp bunk that we lived in was said to be haunted. Occasionally, our stuff would go missing and reappear in weird places, like under our bed or inside a bag that we'd zipped up and stuff like that. No big deal, right? I mean, human error and all. Then came the instance that freaked everyone out. It was one night after lights out, and my friend was on his phone texting his girlfriend. Most of us were drifting off to sleep, and we were lying on our beds, etc. Suddenly, he heard the shuffling of feet from the corridor. So thinking it was the sergeant, he quickly hid his phone under his pillow, rolled over on his side, and pretended to be asleep. Till this day, what happens next chills me to the bone. Whilst he pretended to be asleep, he heard someone right behind him, at the other side of his bed, saying, "Don't worry, you can continue to pretend to sleep." I would dismiss this as a figment of his imagination, except about five other people around him heard it as well, including me. Creepier still, there was no one there. And it was the voice of a little girl that said it. Oh my God, all the military training in the world does not prepare you for ghosts, does it? Hi, I'm with the paranormal unit. No way. Jesus, get your gun. And I would have to, I'm afraid, shoot myself in the head, because that is horrible. Jesus wept. For reference, our training camp was in the middle of an island and was set up away from the main admin block. The island has been closed by the government for army training purposes for the past 15 years, so there were definitely no civilians around, let alone kids. To make matters freakier, when we came back from our weekend home leave, there was a bunch of female hair on his bed, neatly bundled up, long and jet black, and under his pillow was a note. "Remember me," it said. Now, as I said, we're in the middle of a forest, in the middle of an island. At that point in time, there were no female recruits or personnel on the island. Our bunks were locked up for the weekend, and the duty sergeant had no idea about the incident. We've never spoke about it after that night. It still chills me to the bone thinking about it. I'm sure it does, and that's because it's fucking horrible. Ugh, why would you even be in the army if that's... You know, I'd happily go and fight soldiers. You know, if they were like, "Your country needs you, you need to go off to fight this army," I'd be like, "Yes, sir, give me a gun." And if they went, "And there's ghosts," I'd be like, "Take your gun back, I'm fucking off home. Thank you very much. No, no, no." That is amazing. You know what? I think that the army probably have more ghost stories than anyone, but they never would say it. All that bravado. "No, I'm not afraid of ghosts. I've got a gun and a tattoo. Why would I be afraid of the dead?" But in reality, they're like that. "Please leave the light on. Pretty please. The demon girl will come to me again. Yes, she will." That is amazing. Bloody hell, Terry, these links are amazing. Thank you, sir. Our final story this week is called Babysitter Ghost. When I was a kid, my brother and I would get stuck babysitting the neighbour's kid. His name was Alex. Alex was really fond of my Lego set that I had in the corner of my room, facing the window. He would play for hours, while my brother and I would play video games in the living room. One night, when I fell asleep on the couch, whilst babysitting, my brother came to me and said, "Alex is under your bed, shaking." I asked, what's wrong with him? My brother told me to follow him into the room and to try to talk him back out from under the bed. I go inside to find him on the verge of tears, as he was trembling profusely under my bed. I asked, Alex, what's wrong? Why are you under there? Alex whimpered, it, while looking at the sliding closet in front of him. As I walked toward the bed in order to help him out, he ran. He ran all the way back over to his house and waited on his front steps until his parents got home. Now, my parents were out to dinner with his, and he explained the whole story in detail to both his parents and mine. His explanation sent shivers down my spine when my brother and I left the house to meet up with his parents and find out what happened. My mum told me that Alex was playing with my Legos and heard a slight murmur from the closet, something that resembled a faint vocalization of, come here. He said that he looked behind him and noticed the closet had a slight opening with a light peering in from my lamp. He stared at the crack until he saw an eyelid open. Oh, fucking hell. He told us that there was a man in the closet. Alex then hid under my bed after giving out a slight yelp, which attracted my brother's attention. My family rushes back into my house and into my room. In horror, we find my closet door rocked open. My window had been left open when it was previously closed, and a few things were knocked over which had not been previously touched. We still don't know what force we were reckoning with after that evening. Thank God nothing more severe happened. Jesus wept. I don't even know what you're dealing with there, but I'm glad that it's nothing serious. Well, it is something serious, but I'm glad that nothing serious happened. That is horrible. Ugh. Because you know what? It just got me thinking. What could be worse than a paedophile? A paedophile's ghost? With the power to move things around? Maybe. Maybe that would be worse. My God. Anyway, I think that wraps up the story section for this part. Wow. Don't forget, if you've got stories, send them in. Contact at Talk About Ghosts and I will read them out. What a show. Wow. Anyway, let's get to some of your correspondence. Correspondence, yes. Okay, so we've had a lot of good emails in. Thank you very much for sending them in. Don't forget, contact at talkaboutghost.com. We've had an email from Laurie. You know the Laurie that I actually met, not the one that I got confused with last time you sent the story in. And she sent an email in to say that this happens often, yes. So I do apologise again for that mix-up. We've also had an email from Vicky with a book recommendation. So thank you, Vicky, for that. She said she heard me on the Ghost Story Guys. So thank you. We've also had a lovely email come in from, a very interesting email, come in from Gabrielle Montevecchi. Remember that lady with the best name in the world? And she says, hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for reading my stories last month. You're welcome. We loved hearing them, even Josie, who remains terrified. Lots more stories to share at a later date. Today, though, I thought I'd send along a picture of a very historic and eerie landmark in our town. This is the former Danvers State Hospital, a psychiatric hospital that was built in 1874 on Haythorn Hill. A physician and mental health advocate, Dr. Thomas Kirkbride, created the industrial model for mental health hospitals in the 19th century. And the 300,000 square foot design included administration buildings with long wings off both sides of the central building. The main administrative building was known as the Kirkbride Building and is the prominent one in the photo. The horror film Session 9 was filmed in and around the property just a few years before the main buildings were demolished to make way for new construction. The property was transformed into luxury condos in 2008, and there are countless terrifying tales centering on the property. The property was originally intended to house 450. However, by the 1930s, there were nearly 2,000 patients at Danvers State. Kirkbride's original vision for the property was to provide a country setting where patients would receive treatments and contribute to running a working farm. By the 30s and 40s, conditions of Danvers State Hospital had become deplorable. Overcrowding and managing patients safely led to many patients being abused, neglected, and confined inhumanely. I'd highly recommend you visit when you make your way to Massachusetts. The Danvers State Hospital Cemetery remains open to the public and contains the remains of hundreds of unnamed patients whose remains were not claimed by their families. Ah, I'm sure you'll be as intrigued as I am in the history and folly of this remarkable place. And she says, Happy Valentine's Day to you and Becca. Now, she sent a picture of Danvers State. I'm going to put it on the Facebook group. Which reminds me, if you're not yet a member of the Facebook group, search We Need to Talk About Ghosts. It's a private group, so you'll have to answer 3 questions, and on answering them, I will allow you in. Yes. But I'll put that picture on there. Thank you, Gabrielle. That's amazing. And she did say happy Valentine's Day to me and Becca. But, you know, I spent Valentine's Day alone because Becca flew out to Saudi the day before. So we had to have an earlier Valentine's Day. So our Valentine's Day was like Tuesday of last week or something, which was nice. I hope you all had a good one too, guys. Now, we've had some great reviews come in as well. So I want to give them a little mention too. So our first review comes in from Lola from NC. I don't know where that is. Oh, it's in the US of A. North Carolina? Yes, why not? And it's called Painless Spookiness, Learning and Fun. 5 stars. Thank you. I wish I could show more restraint when binging because now I have to wait. Like most Americans, I find his accent completely charming. I think you're speaking for yourself there. Kev seems sincere in his grapple with things of the paranormal, the explainable, and of faith. He's funny. Thank you. Welcoming. Thank you. And genuine. Thank you. And a rad musician, it turns out. Thank you. And Kev, if you read this, I am. I found the ghost story, guys, through you, not the other way. Oh, well, there's one. I'll have to tell Brennan and Ian about that. I'll be like, hey, got you one listener. Woo! Next one's just titled Amazing. 5 stars. Thank you. Just amazing spooky fun. Dear Kevin, thanks for making a new section of the show. It is really entertaining. Keep it up. And that's from A Amazing Name. Good name. In the United States of America. Thank you. I like the fact that you like Week in Weird. I hope it's that what you're referring to. I imagine it is. The next part one is funny, scary, and brilliant. 5 stars. I like the way every title's got 3 things. Yes, I'm all about this triad. Yes. Love this podcast. Thank you. Kevin is hilarious. Thank you. I love when Becca joins in and literally shuts down anything paranormal. The chemistry and chat between these two is brilliant. Each episode keeps you listening. Kevin is excellent at telling those creepy stories. He's an amazing songwriter and singer. Ah, please don't ever stop and keep the midpoint. Oh, there you go. From Will. Oh, that's from Will from What the Fuck Is in This Book, which is a podcast that you should all listen to. And I'm not just saying that because he's rated this. I was a fan ever since I heard about them from the Real Life Ghost Story chaps. So yeah, it's Will and Annie, both the hosts, and it's very fun. It's a little bit naughty, but I'm all about that. And yeah, go and check them out. And if you don't, something terrible will happen. Don't know why I said that, really. Sorry, guys. So thank you, Will. And the final one is quippy, quirky, and fun. Another 3? I love this. I just love the triad, yes. 5 stars. As a home health nurse, I drive all day from patient to patient. I really enjoy the stories and the quippy way they are presented. Quippy, that's me. It shortens my day, makes me smile, and gives me some giggles. Thanks for the great podcast, Kevin. Looking forward to sharing some spooky tales soon. And that's from Fairy Like in the US of A. Thank you, Fairy Like. And now everyone keeps saying, I must share stories with you. I must share stories with you. I must send you some spooky stories that happened to moi. And yes, you must. So please do. Contact at talkaboutghosts.com. Don't put it off. Just send the stories in. Okay? Let's get a big bumper episode for next week. This episode is a little bit shorter. I do apologize for that. But I've literally had no time to prepare anything this week other than what I've done so far, which I hope you like. Before I go, I must share a little funny story that happened to me today. Yes, let's leave on a bit of a light note, because I'm shitting myself. It's a text. Fucking hell, Kevin. This is what I'm going to be like for a full week. 2 weeks, in fact. Forgot about that. Nice one, Kev. You're welcome, Kev. Anyway, little bit of a funny story. My sister is having a load of work done in the house, like so much so that she has to leave her house and go and move in with my dad. And he's only got like a terrace. A semi-detached, doesn't matter. Anyway, this is the funny thing. We're in the back garden having a smoke, and me, my sister and my dad are there, all having a smoke, having a chat. And my dad says, well, at least you're getting the work done by good people. You know, they're not cowboys. This is a genuine, sincere story. He says, they're not cowboys, you know, they're proper people. I went, oh, all right, okay, who's doing the work? And he says, without any sense of irony, after just saying they're not cowboys, I say, who's doing the work? He says, Bathroom Billy is doing the bathroom and the plaster is getting done by Jed the Spread, right? Have you ever heard 2 more cowboy names? Bathroom Billy and Jed the Spread. I nearly fell off my chair. Honest to God, my dad's the only person who can straight face think, they're not cowboys, you know, Jed the Spread and Bathroom Billy. It's like, really? Because they sound like them, Dad. They sound just like cowboys. Anyway, that's enough from me for this week. I love you all. Thank you for entertaining this one. I'm sorry that, I might have been a little bit all over the shop. As I say, scared out my wits and no Becca to keep me company. So let's see what happens to him next week, eh? That sounds like fun. I hope I'm okay. And I hope you're all okay, too. Until next time. Tatty bye.